There is a principle I've been told in real estate. Well, there's three principles I've been told in real estate that you have to look for to be successful. And those are location, location, location. Don't seem very smart to be in real estate, but no. We can apply that to our spiritual life because there are three principles that we have to follow, and they are relationship, relationship, relationship. Our relationship with God, our relationship with self, and our relationship with neighbor. So looking at this principle, let's go through the story of the woman of the well to see all these relationships with God, neighbor, and self. So we'll start off by looking at the reference to Jacob's well. Jacob meets his wife Rachel, the love of his life, at this well. So this reference in the gospel should remind us of this beautiful covenantal loving relationship that says, until death do us part. Usually with marriage comes children, and we know that Jacob will have 12 sons. Jacob is renamed Israel, his 12 sons become the 12 tribes of Israel, and eventually they will become the United Kingdom of Israel. All the relationships in order, God is good. However, in today's gospel, we're told that Jesus is in Samaria. Now, at the time of Jacob, Samaria was friendly territory. But today, in the gospel, it's considered enemy territory. Here is why. Around 1050 BC, Saul becomes the first king of the unified kingdom of Israel. Saul will be followed by David. David will be followed by his son Solomon. And Solomon is the last king of the unified kingdom. He's the last king because when he dies around 930 BC, a power struggle will happen. The 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel will refuse to accept Rehoboam. King Rehoboam was the son and legitimate successor of Solomon. Instead, they choose to follow Jeroboam. You have to be careful about people whose names begin with J-E-R. These other two tribes of Israel, Judah and Benjamin, will remain faithful to God and faithful to the Davidic line. So Samaria now becomes the capital of the 10 northern apostate tribes, where Jerusalem remains the capital of the two faithful southern tribes. So we have this fracturing in the relationship of God's people. This is why the Samaritan woman says to Jesus, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." But there's a lot in common between the Samaritans and the Jews. They share a common ancestry. They are, in fact, family. So the gospel again is showing us this tragic breaking, this tragic fracturing in God's people. So now Christ wants to bring the good news to sort of counteract the bad news. He starts to speak of this living water that gives eternal life. But in today's gospel, he doesn't tell what or where this water is. To know about it, we have to go to John 7. When we go to John 7, we're told that on the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and exclaimed, "Let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me," the scripture says, "rivers of living water will flow from within him." He said this in reference to the Spirit that those who came to believe in him would receive. There was, of course, no Spirit yet, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So this living water is that Spirit of eternal life, the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, that we will proclaim in our creed. But in order for the Holy Spirit to come into one, in order for someone to accept that Holy Spirit, they have to be ready to receive it. So Jesus starts to look at this woman's particular situation. He says, "Go and call your husband." She says, "I do not have one." And Jesus says, "You had had five, and the one you're with right now is not your husband. Five plus one is six." 6 in biblical numerology is the number of human weakness or outright evil. Think about the number we associate with the devil, 666, which is the numeric superlative, if you will, for the devil. So Christ is acknowledging that this woman is in fractured relationship with God, with self, and probably with neighbor. But although she's in a state of sin, we can see that she starts to recognize that Jesus Christ is a prophet. She starts to question her lifestyle and her belief systems. We see this when she says, "Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say the place to worship is in Jerusalem." So what is the mountain she is referring to? It's Mount Gerizim. On this mountain, a temple was constructed to mirror the temple worship that was going on in Jerusalem. Long story short, here's why that happened. The high priest in Jerusalem at a certain time was Manasseh, and he ended up getting into an illicit marriage, fractured relationship. So they said, "You cannot serve here." So he runs off and starts another temple. He does that with the aid of a Persian. So a non-Jewish person comes along and says, "I will build you this temple on Mount Gerizim, and you can offer sacrifice there. And I will also give you power over the people of Samaria and the riches that come with it." So Manasseh falls into the hat trick of sins, sex, power, and money. So this mount on Mount Gerizim is a symbol of man's disobedience and rebellion against God due to a pursuit of sin. Once again, fractured relationship. What's important to know at this time, when Jesus is there, the temple on Mount Gerizim was absolutely destroyed. 100 years earlier, some of the members of the Maccabean dynasty paid it a little visit and just wiped it out. But although the temple was gone, we can see that there's a longing on the part of the Samaritans to be in relationship with God. There's a longing to want to know him. This is why the woman says, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." So she is hoping for the Messiah. She is thirsting for the living water that Christ spoke about. Although she's not perfect, although she's in a state of sin, she wants that loving, covenantal relationship with God. And Christ is answering that longing. He reveals himself to her very beautifully. "You are looking for him." And he says to her, "I am he, the one speaking to you." So Christ reveals himself to those who seek him. So let's get back to the spiritual principle I started with. Relationship, relationship, relationship. During Lent, we're called to look at all of our relationships. We're called to go in and see where they might be either a little bit off, if not completely fractured. We're called through prayer to look at our relationship with God. We're called at fasting to look at our relationship with ourselves. And we're called through almsgiving to look at our relationship with our neighbor. So like the woman at the well, we are seeking Christ. And Christ is saying, "Here I am. I want to give you the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness, and the love that you need to put all these relationships back in order again." This way, on Easter Sunday, when we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord, we can be in right relationship with our God, ourself, and our neighbor.